So it's been about 6 months since the pandemic began and our lives changed forever. And if the first part of social distancing was all about the things we couldn't do, going to bars, being with loved ones, eating free food at VC-sponsored events, you know, what normal people do, we've slowly gotten back to doing some of those things, except in new and strange ways. And for me, going to the movies has been the perfect example of that. 2 weeks ago, Warner Brothers' Tenet came out. That's the new Christopher Nolan movie. It was supposed to be out in July, but instead it made its debut around the world a couple of weeks ago and in the US last week. Then there was another delayed movie, Disney's Mulan, that was supposed to be released way back in March. It came out in the US and around the world last week. It was also available to rent on Disney's streaming service. So the movies are back. Kind of. This is Tom Dotan. I'm a reporter at The Information, and on this episode of the 411, I wanted to dive into what it means for the movies to be back, and especially in this form. And we're looking at it from two ways. In the first part, I chatted with a couple of people around the world who took the leap and actually went back into theaters. Two were in Canada, one was in the UK, all big-time movie lovers that were eager to get back into theaters, or cinemas if you're a Brit. But once they were there, they were confronted with what it means, both the things that were familiar and the very strange. In the second part, we're discussing what this all means for the movie industry. I'm talking to Richard Rushfield. Richard is a longtime entertainment journalist who writes the excellent industry newsletter, The Ankler. And we talk about how things are faring at this point, what the future of theaters are, what the future of Hollywood is, and how comfortable he'd feel going back into his local Cineplex for a feature. But first, let's go out to the movies.
I don't know if we would have gone to a movie yet if it was not Tenet.
I had to do it for my boy Christopher Nolan, really. I mean, just had to be done.
I saw Woman on Fire. It was so good. I wasn't nervous because if I saw that it didn't look sanitized or clean or it was crowded, I just wouldn't stay. So I felt I had total control of the situation.
And you can pick any two seats, but then they blocked out two seats to the left of you, two seats to the right of you, two seats in front and two seats back.
We would go in and actually clean the seats with the Lysol towels.
Yeah, this was the first time like we had to pre-order our tickets.
It was definitely a point of consideration was, will this be a full theater? Will this be an empty theater? Did we wear masks the whole time? Yes, we did, which meant we did not buy popcorn because it just be taken off the mask to eat the popcorn, I guess.
To be fair, they've got the like hand sanitizer at the door, so you go there. What was weird is that we sanitized our hands and then straight away we had to go to like a touchscreen thing to print off our tickets, and it was like, oh, well, we have to sanitize our hands all over again now because we've been touching this like public screen.
I felt so much back in my routine, comfortable. And, you know, going to the movie is a big escape, and the chairs are comfortable, the reclining chair, lots of room. And just being back in the movie was, to me, it's a big part of my life.
Like watching such an immersive film, it 100% took it away from me that, you know, everything's crumbling outside and the world's ending and all of that sort of stuff. Like, I was watching Robert Pattinson and them and their world ending, not mine. So I was sort of taken away from it all.
All right, Richard. So we've basically had like 2 weeks now of what I would say is anything close to a summer movie season, where we had Tenet coming out 2 weeks ago. And then last week we had this kind of interesting release with Disney and Mulan. What would you say so far, if you had to grade the returns from the box office, the two-week box office that we've had for the past couple of weeks, what would you say? I mean, how have things looked?
By the standards of a normal release at the normal times, if Tenet and Mulan had come out and they had had results anything like this, it would be the greatest disaster a studio had ever seen.
Right. But by the standards of where we're living now with theaters, you know, either shut down or, you know, having this severe distancing things in there, you would say it's all right?
I would say they get a little cash flow from it. So it helps pay some overhead for AT&T this month, but not very much. I mean, it's, you know, these are movies that essentially, if they don't make $500 million, is kind of at the box office, kind of break even for them. So saying, wow, we made $100 million in the world for movies like this is it's just, it's not a financial model that can sustain movies like this.
Right, yeah, and you certainly wouldn't be happy for $100 million if you were several hundred million dollars in the hole just for making it and marketing it.
If the movie theaters are going to try to reopen now, someone's got to go first and someone's got to do it and have something there that justifies the theaters putting employees on staff and paying the electric bills and everything. Warner's response has been, well, we've never been here before, so you can't really compare it to anything. So with nothing to compare it to, it's great. You know, if you are going to compare it to anything that's ever occurred before, it's a disaster.
What do you think? I mean, I remember listening in on earnings calls in like the beginning of the summer or middle of the summer. God, who knows? And there was a lot of like sit and wait to see how Tenet does in order to decide how movie studios were going to move forward with whether or not they wanted to delay their movies or put them out in this kind of, you know, crippled fashion. I mean, what do you think is the sense in the industry now about it? Is it like, do you look at Tenet and say, oh my God, this is a huge cautionary tale, or saying like, oh, maybe it could have been worse and maybe we should put out at least something this year?
There's a lot of movies in the can, and if this were any kind of great success story, you would have seen tons of studios jumping to follow up and say, you know, they could put Wonder Woman in theaters on Friday if they want. You don't see anybody moving to push release dates forward now, and on their big movies, and anybody sort of jumping on this experiment. So,
how do you compare like the Tenet idea, where they finally just decide to put that movie out, versus like Mulan, which was delayed, and then they're like, well, we'll release it around the world, and then we'll also do this, premium video on demand. Buy it for $30 on Disney Plus. I mean, did that look pretty good in the end? Like the way Disney went about with Mulan?
I've seen estimates that they think it will do all right. I mean, with Mulan and driving the Disney Plus, you have a secondary goal there, which is you have a subscription service that you've got to feed with new stuff, and you've got to build that up and give people a reason to subscribe and stay subscribed. So putting Mulan behind it was a big step.
I mean, like, preceding all of this was this, like, big fight between the movie studios and the theaters over windowing and how long they were going to be willing to, you know, keep their movies in theaters and whether they wanted to bring more of them simultaneously to rent and things like that. I mean, how much does Hollywood, obviously having major expensive movies essentially tank at the box office is not what Hollywood wants, but the idea that they are now maybe slightly more flexible to put these things out, you know, home streaming, home rental, is there a part of it that this is something Hollywood was desiring and it kind of accelerated a shift?
Oh yeah, it's been sort of this standoff now for at least 5 years between the studios and theatrical, that the studios wanting to open up more possibilities for home sales by reducing the windows, and the theatrical folks just staring them down and refusing, and no one really making a move and budging. And we've been waiting to see for 5 years now when someone would make this move, and they had their opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think about the fight that played out earlier this year between Universal and AMC, where there was a very brief period of time where you had AMC saying, well, we're not going to be showing any Universal movies. You know, we're done with those guys. And it looks like they made up and, you know, came up with a solution. What did you think about that fight, and how do you think, you know, who ended up on top?
Universal has been the most aggressive in sort of experimenting and trying different things and trying different combinations. In the end, the fact that they got AMC to blink and get into a deal with them, I mean, the details of the deal may not be great for either side and might not stand, but with that deal, the window has broken. It's like we've shown we can do something other than just having an absolutely sacrosanct 90-day windows, and the biggest theater chain in America has signed on to it, and now we'll see. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter behind all this is that before this is over, you're probably going to see a lot of these chains go bankrupt.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. Like, what form do movie theaters, you know, have at the end of all of this? I mean, it sounds like there's going to be a huge number of bankruptcies, but do you anticipate many of them will survive? Some more consolidation, just fewer theaters per city? Like, what's that whole landscape going to look like?
So there's going to be fewer film releases. Fewer film releases should mean less need for theaters, which we're already struggling to start with. And also, you have the Paramount consent decree, which was prohibited studios from owning theaters since the 1940s, was struck down last year. So the theaters, in theory, could buy some of these chains and could go back into owning theaters themselves outright. On the other hand, studios seem to have reacted like saying, "Wow, you're saying we can go into this theatrical business now? Thanks a lot."
Yeah, God, these guys are already dealing with like other old legacy parts of their business that aren't doing well. You would think wanting to latch onto theaters isn't exactly top of their list.
On Netflix, you watch movies ad-free. You go to movie theaters, you drive there, you pay money to sit there and be forced to watch ads. I think you're going to see, at least in an experimental way, studios get involved in creating, in owning theaters and trying to create special event hubs around them.
Yeah, or the Alamo Drafthouse model, right, where it's like a night out and they serve you food of debatable quality, and, you know, it's a bit more of a... I don't know, some sort of a add-on experience beyond just sitting in a seat and watching a movie. I mean, is that going to be more common?
The El Capitan Theater in L.A., which people point to on Hollywood Boulevard, which is owned by Disney, and it's like an old Radio City experience where they have an organist playing, an old stage show, and maybe people dressed as characters are there for the kids. That's also the sort of thing that people talk about.
Would you go to a theater? I mean, what would it take for you to feel safe and comfortable being inside a space like that for a couple of hours?
I mean, it's you're in a dark enclosed place based with strangers who are wearing masks to some extent, but I see with AMC you're allowed to remove your masks to eat popcorn, which is like you don't have to wear masks if you're doing the thing that almost everybody is doing when they're in a movie theater. I love seeing movies. I would love to go to the theaters again. I really miss it. I think it'll be the last place that I go to when I feel like everything is normal again.
Yeah, strong words coming from you, because I know that's, you know, that's something you love to do. And you're a traditionalist in that sense. So
part of it is like you look at these chains here and you look at how shoddily they manage their business, and like they can't project the films properly, which is the basic thing of showing films that you think you should get right. So I'm going to trust them with my health, my family's health in their hands.
Yeah, no, if they can't even clean the aperture plate, what's the chance that they can, you know, clean the seats properly, right?
Meticulous cleanliness is not a word I associate with my local multiplexes.
Yeah, no question. All right, Richard, you have a great perspective, as always, and it was great to have you on the show this week. Thanks so much for joining.
My pleasure, Tom.
That is this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining. Also, Colleen Clay and The Movie Dweeb for sharing their experiences. Richard Rushfield for explaining the industry to us. Ariella Markowitz for producing. See you back here next week.